Welcome to a summer edition of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network. I know it's been a while since we've done this, but we're hoping that we're fully back, right, boys? I think everyone's kind of settled down now. We've been running around. Cody's been on bachelor parties. Avery's been walking golf courses. I've been doing my thing in Nashville and all the other cities and whatnot, but the boys are back and we're hopefully going to have an organized way about this going forward. And, we hope you didn't miss us too much, but I'm not going to talk anymore. What's up, fellas? What's going on?
I love that my hiatus is just about me walking golf. Yeah.
I didn't know what else to say.
He's so sick. Yeah. Really been doing it all.
Dude, he's pumping out interviews. He's doing things.
Yep. Doing great stuff. But Cody, you go. You had something you wanted to say.
Well, I was just gonna say Johnny literally looks like he rubbed a fire hydrant all over his fucking face because yeah, I don't know what's
my ass off
look
right
at his,
now.
Look at his right ear, dude. That is dude. Oh my god. Sunscreen, bro. Sunscreen.
Yeah. I actually didn't wear any sunscreen for the July weekend. But yeah, I mean, Cody, you just went on a rant about your time in Austin, Texas, best city in the world. I've been there like 10 times. This is your first time there.
I'm moving there. Hence why I have no voice. I'm literally moving there. Like, you guys can come if you want. I'll leave my wife at home. We can get a bachelor pad.
Avery,
you haven't seen the sun in weeks, Avery.
I think it's just the lighting.
Bro, he walked 18 today in fucking 100 degree weather.
Yeah, it's got to be the lighting. I'm actually pretty tan. Like, I'll send you guys a picture. I'm pretty tan.
Yeah, send us a picture.
It's so good to be back.
He's going to send a picture. It's going to be of like Terry Crews.
Yeah. So thrilled to be back on the Blue Crew pod.
Yeah, we won't dive into the Rangers stuff right away. But, you know, like we said, we're hoping to do episodes starting now every Monday, every Thursday. We're going to try to have a guest on, I think, for every Thursday episode. And then for Monday episodes, we're going to do fan questions. Although next week might be a little bit different. The summer might be a little bit different. But during the season, that's kind of how we're going to try to go about it. But yeah, you guys want to just like shoot the shit quick? What do you want? I don't know how to do or what to do right now.
Let's send it, bro. Why don't you talk about your personal news and then we'll kick it over to Avery for his non-personal news and then we can kick it over to me for my least personal news.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess for most of you that don't know, I've been working a 9-to-5 corporate job for the last like 16 months. I've worked at Sinclair, specifically on the Tennis Channel doing ad sales. And as of July 18th, I will be full-time in hockey media, betting on myself and putting everything into, you know, this podcast and covering the league with the NHL and Bleach Report and the writing and all that. I'm just doing 10 different jobs.
Dude, why the fuck, Cody? Why are you laughing, bro?
Because I was just
Cody gives me shit for having like 50 jobs.
When Johnny said I'm betting on myself, I was just thinking, yo, Avery, me and you should put together like a Johnny music video. Like, fuck it.
What?
Like you're betting on yourself, like a fucking athlete says.
Yeah.
Like, you just,
I don't know. It's just, I'm quitting my job. I'm like, you know,
bro, trying put out to... a track about it.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I'm really happy for Johnny. Knowing Johnny, like, personally, I know the other job was getting in the way. So this is big. Yeah. And you just keep moving up in the world. I see you everywhere now. And, I didn't mean to laugh. It's all Cody's fault.
No, dude, okay. you're honestly a peacock and it's time we let you fly.
Cody's on his immortal Lou grind.
What's that from?
It's from Other Guys, dude. Obviously.
So,
come on.
I'm so proud of you.
You can't beat me. But
dude, don't watch TV, but random movie references. So there's that. Yeah.
Well, that's I don't watch TV shows, but I watch movies.
Oh, you do? Okay, sick.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so hopefully we can put out like more consistent Ranger content that you know, I won't have to go into an office from 9-to-5 next season. You know, that kind of got in the way of a lot of things. And yeah, I'm just super pumped to just fucking be in hockey, man.
I'm actually super proud of you and for you.
I just can't take the rest of the show seriously now.
And for any serious inquiries for, you know, hockey stuff only, it's jlazzy23@thehockeynews.com. And, you know,
it's not a real thing, but.
He'll get going.
Yeah, and if any of you losers want to rag on Johnny for living out his dream, you can go kick rocks.
Who's going to do that?
Double time.
Well, there's a couple people gonna do that? On the internet. Really? There already have been.
Yeah.
Bro,
people calling you insufferable.
I got to say something here, okay?
Wait, hold on.
I don't want to dive into this.
No, I do because
it's too late, dude. It's too late. You opened it.
I do because Cody and I are your good friends, and we both find you very insufferable, but we're very happy for you. There's a difference between watching Johnny like throw up a peace sign on Instagram versus like him living out his dream. So you can find him insufferable in that way, but if you want to flame him for doing great things in the hockey world, like never met a hater doing better than you, Johnny. That's it.
The peace sign thing is honestly just like a trigger. I don't know. I can't help myself. Whenever a camera's like pointed on me, I go to the peace sign duck face. I don't know what it is.
Stop.
Yeah, it's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Cody and I have a separate group chat for that.
We don't need to get into the chirping and whatnot. But that was honestly kind of cool. I thought that was awesome that I got like a hater. Yeah, I loved it.
You have many haters, dude.
That one was just openly tweeted. Cody's my biggest hater, so.
But I'm also your biggest lover.
Yes,
that's true. All right, so how do we transition from that?
Okay, so transitioning, there's been a lot of news going on with our boys. Let's start with the LaViolette coach hiring. How do we feel about it?
We got a coach.
Vibe check, boys. Vibe check.
So I can take this one. Or do you want to start, Avery?
No. Avery, go ahead. Got to go off. Let Avery go. Let him.
Yeah, go.
No, actually, I'm pretty modest about it. There's really nothing to go off about. Obviously, Gallant's tenure with the Rangers wasn't long. And he's known for that. He's known for not lasting long in organizations, but at the end of the day, you can't really grade assigning a coach acquisition until they actually do something. So I'm pretty modest about it. I think he did a really good job in Washington last season for what they had. They didn't really have a outstanding roster. He got the most out of a guy like Sonny Milano, who's been like kind of up and down in his career, and he had a great year. So, and they hired a great coaching staff to complement him. A lot of guys with experience coaching young players. Muse, who's worked with the U.S. development team. I'm excited about it. It's a new beginning in the coaching realm for the Rangers.
Yeah, well, the Muse thing, you know, obviously the Rangers' first two draft picks this year are two kids out of the NTDP, and to see them interact with Muse after being picked, that was awesome. And I think it's like the perfect balance, right? Like LaViolette's that like kind of hardo at the top, and then you have the supporting staff around him to be that like level of comfort, right? Like Michael Pekka, only good things are said about him as an assistant and in player development and whatnot. And he's also coached a lot of junior hockey, coached the OJHL for the Junior Sabres for quite a bit. And then you look at Phil Housley, who obviously has NHL experience as well, both playing and coaching experience. So it's a good little like unit, I guess, for lack of a better term, right? Like LaViolette's going to be that hardo. He's going to, you know, give his personality to the players. He's going to give them a hard time. He's going to get them to compete. But then, you know, obviously when the players are struggling, they have that supporting cast, right? They have the Housley, mm-hmm. they have the Muse, they have the Pekka. So, listen, I still, we can get into the roster too in a bit. Like, I don't know what to expect from this team, but Cody, you can give your opinion on the coaches as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, we said this on our last episode, like we knew what we were getting with LaViolette. You know, he might not have had results and the results he was looking for in the past couple of years, but he's a Stanley Cup champion. He's been there three times with three different teams. And I think that's very important. Like, I mean, he's one of the longest, you know, he's been here for a long time. And I think we know he's, you know, a hard coach, you know, for his players, but I think he hired all the right guys, like you said, to really help push guys in the right way. And I think the most important thing is he hired two development assistant coaches, and that's our season. Like you said, you don't know what to expect. Like, really does hinge on these two kids in Lafreniere and Kako. Like, if they don't flourish, you know, and they don't even need to be superstars, but if they don't flourish into like 60-point guys, like, and you know, defensively sound and things like that, like we're not going anywhere. So I think it's really important for both of their development. And I do think like guys like Muse and Housley will be able to get the best out of these kids. And, you know, so I'm excited to kind of see where it goes. And like, I think the assistant coach hirings really made me feel as a fan, like less bad or less like, ugh, it's just typical about the LaViolette signing.
Okay. Now let me ask you guys this question. Is this a cup or bust season? Because I don't think so. I don't think the ceiling for this team is winning a Stanley Cup. I think maybe it's an accomplishment if they get out of the second round and they go to the conference final again. Like, that would be over the moon for me. I know that's somewhat of like a pessimistic take, but when you look at this roster right now, it's not like that team is winning the Stanley Cup. You know, it's just, that's just not the case.
But I would say it's like that team is really deep, and if they did, people wouldn't like their minds wouldn't be blown. Like I don't think people would be like, holy shit, but like you can see, you know, based on like all these power rankings coming out by like NHL.com, Bleacher Report, whatever, like everybody's now putting the Rangers like between 8 and 14. Whereas last year, like you didn't see them go past 8. So like clearly everybody knows they kind of took a step back and, you know, underwhelmed, lost the game 7, whatever. But I think it's kind of an unknown depending on the, like where these coaches take them. Like that was the retool. And now they got some great players in to at minimum cost to like, you know, support these guys. But again, like if Lafreniere surprises and becomes a 75 point player and just goes off, like
you just said 60 a minute ago.
Sure. Well, I'm saying that's what we need him to be. But like if he goes off and blows everybody's minds, like who's to say where this team can go? And I think, you know, it's kind of a great unknown. The thing that scares me with them is like we have an aging core. You know, like 3 years ago, we were like, holy shit, we have like the youngest team in the league. And like we have this core locked up. Like now we're 3 more years in and we're still not at our end goal. So it's like, when do you put that cup or bust mentality on this team? Like, was it 1 year? Was it seriously like 1 year, you know?
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I think you look at the talent level, it's there. You got a top 10 center in Mika Zibanejad. You got a top 5 winger in Artemi Panarin. You have a top 3 defenseman in Adam Fox. You have a top 3 goaltender in Igor Shesterkin, probably number 1. So the talent is there. The issue that stems very deep with the Rangers roster every playoff run is the top players don't perform. You can't win games in the playoffs if your top guys don't perform. Jack Eichel had an unbelievable playoff. He was he's probably the reason why the Golden Knights won the cup. Him and Marchessault and their goaltending. But I mean, it's just like you need your top players to perform. And I honestly think in the past 5 years, the Rangers have done everything right. The rebuild was very fast. They did a great job. They drafted well. There's just players not living up to the standards right now. And how much more can you add to this team and trade for when the top guys just aren't performing, you know? And the first two games in the Devils series were great. They won, but the analytics behind it didn't support the fact that they just didn't play that great of a game. They just caught the Devils by surprise in two games and then they got whooped. So I think a big problem was the depth, and they addressed that very, very, very well. They signed 10 guys on July 1st. And we'll transition into that. And I think it creates a lot of accountability in the lineup now that there's no safety net. You got a lot of depth. You got a lot of guys who can come in and out of the lineup. You're not going to get guys feeling comfortable on the fourth line if they have a couple bad games in a row, because you can throw in different combinations on that fourth line now. Even the bottom defensive pairing. Braden Schneider can't feel safe anymore. There's a ton of guys that can slot in now. Left-handed defenseman that they signed that, you know, makes his job a lot harder and a lot harder on him. But that's when you get the most out of players, is when they don't feel like they're safe in their spot. And I think that Chris Drury did a great job on July 1st, and it's going to prove well for this team. Like I said, I don't think it's cup or bust, but I think the addition of the depth and the new coaching staff is going to help them tremendously.
So for me, I'll just give my answer. And I actually have another follow-up question, just to, like, embrace the debate a little bit, but I think this year is just fully a trial year, right? Like, you have a brand new coaching staff, and I think this is the year where you can't even argue the fact that Lafreniere and Kako, if they don't take some sort of leap this year, then like
we're kicked.
It might be time.
We're kicked. Yeah, we're kicked.
Right? Like it might be time. So like, so for, you know, embracing the debate, and I want to be careful how I word this, because I don't want to like sound like I don't care about winning a Stanley Cup. Obviously, that's the end goal. But do you think it's more important this season for Kako and Lafreniere to have success, or for the team overall to have success? Like, for me, if Kako and Lafreniere both put up, you know, 60 to 70 points, they succeed playing top 6 minutes, that's a win. I'll take that, you know, as opposed to them not performing and the Rangers maybe getting to like the conference final. Like, I don't know.
The only exception to the question you just asked is winning a cup. That's the only fucking exception to me. Dude. Like, it. No, it is. It is.
No, that's what, if they reasonable. Don't play well?
If they don't play well,
no, I'm saying if they don't play up to where we want and the Rangers win a cup, amazing.
If, oh, of course. That's the obvious answer. I mean, like,
no, but I'm telling you, like, other than that, then yeah, I mean, I'm gonna take them developing into superstars or, you know, whatever, over us making it to the second or third round, like just to not win another cup. Because then
Let me rephrase. Would you rather the Rangers get to the second round and lose in the game seven, or lose in the first round in like five games, but Lafreniere and Kako both put up 70 points?
The easiest answer in the world is it's the second one.
Second one, dude.
Yeah.
Second one. Because then we have them. Then we know going into next year, we're like, holy shit, okay, we got these two kids that are going to be absolute animals, and now we actually have a chance, and now it's cup or bust.
So that's what I'm saying. I think this year is like that trial period, and next year is again that cup or bust. You know, like I think that's what it has to be. Like this mentality. Obviously, you want to go into every season thinking, you know, let's win a Stanley Cup, and that's what they should think. But you know, I tweeted out the lines today that I thought, you know, as of July 5th could be a good lineup, and we can get into that next, or we can get into that later. But I think you have to just. I know it might not be earned, but you have to just throw Lafreniere and Kako on the top six. You have to. At this point,
if,
you don't have a choice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they're – Kako will be there. If they put Lafreniere on the third line, like, why did you keep him around? Like, why wouldn't you then just move him and whoever else you needed to for, like, Nylander? Or, like, you know what I mean? It's like there's no point in keeping him – well, seriously, like, why wouldn't you
could afford Nylander.
Well, they could if they fucking sent Lafreniere off in – Othman and like three other guys, like
you have to put as much as, you know, he put up points and numbers last year, the kids have to start in the top six to start the season, and Blake Wheeler cannot be in the top six to start the season, even though I think he might get there eventually.
No,
you have to put you have to put the kids there to start. You have to.
But who are you going to put? You're going to put them both on the right wing?
I think right now Wheeler's the second line right winger.
Yeah, Lafreniere, like, part of the problem is, like, he was like, yeah, like, he's trying to be a team player, and he's like, I'm super comfortable on the right, like, he doesn't play well on the right wing. He's just not as good of a, like, doesn't play as good.
I must have had a brain fart. I'm thinking, so it's Panarin, Kako,
Lafreniere. Kreider will be on the third line. It will be Kreider on the third line that we're saying, like, third line left wing, and Lafreniere would be
I can get behind that. I actually think Kreider and Vinny Trocheck on the third line played great last year. They had like a short stint, but they were like one of the best lines on the team when they were doing it. That's another thing is it doesn't get talked about enough is like as good as Chris Kreider's year was 2 years ago, he had a solid year last year, and obviously he wasn't going to live up to the 52 goal season.
Right,
but now it's like, how many more years until Chris Kreider just becomes a third line guy and not a first line guy?
Right.
And is it next season or is it the season after? Like that, that's another thing is that I think that really just stems off of like, is Lafreniere and Kako going to take it to the next level? And I think Kako showed a lot of signs of brilliance last season. I actually think like he's on the trend upward.
Yep.
But Lafreniere is like plateau and he is a year behind, but I couldn't agree more. It hinders on them.
My issue is Lafreniere. In the playoffs, I think nobody played particularly that good, but I think Kako did some things that I was like, okay, he's like, there's the flash. Like to me, Lafreniere like took a major, major misstep and like downgrade when it came to those seven playoff games where it's like, it doesn't make fans feel confident in him and in his ability going into this season. Like, you know, the talent's there. I mean, you know how good the kid can be. Like, you've seen flashes of brilliance where he'll make a sick move and blow a goal by a goaltender. But I think for me, the biggest issue for this kid is like, he just needs to be comfortable with his shot. Like he just needs to, I know he's a playmaker, whatever, but he had a shit ton of goals when, you know, coming up, like he needs to shoot the puck. He needs to like familiarize himself. And I think another big thing is like he needs to be consistent on his line. Like he got switched up 100 times last season and the season before.
Yeah, that's a coaching thing too. You know, line shuffling.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that I think is going to be like tremendous for his development because he was never able to build like the type of chemistry. Like he only built chemistry with the kid line because the last 10 games of the season he was with them and then the whole playoffs he was with them. So that's like 20 games of consistency, whereas like every other game the kid's getting shuffled around,
you know. And you talk about Lafreniere's shot, right? he does have a scoring touch. He's top three. He's top three on the team in the last 3 years in 5v5 goals.
Totally.
I mean, the guy has a scoring touch. It's just the confidence to shoot it. You look at the past first overall picks. They're all shooters. They're all gamers. Even like the top two, right? Like you look at this draft, Bedard, Fantilli, they shoot the puck, man. Yeah. They're unbelievable at shooting the puck. And you go back down the line, Jack Hughes, he didn't have a great first year, but he came back and obviously stole the show. And now he's a superstar. Like that's what I'm not saying Lafreniere has to be a superstar, but you got to shoot the puck. You got to be a guy that you can rely on. Like when he has the puck, he's going to do something special with it. Maybe not every game, but it's got to be on a consistent basis.
Yeah. And John, sorry, I know you want to go. The last thing I'll say before I kick it to you is just like, and I know, you know, I know everybody wants this kid to like ball out. Right. But like some first overall picks are just slower burns. I mean, like look at Nugent Hopkins, dude, he was a superstar this year. The guy had 104 points. And the last 2 years before there, I think he was in the 60s. So it's like, or you know, like it just takes some people longer, and like I'm hoping that's Lafreniere. Like, you know, Nugent Hopkins was never really like kind of there, and then they made that switch. I think it was like 17-18, and he got a new coach, and you know, like maybe he was an assistant coach or something like that, but it really helped his development. So I think like I'm hoping that, you know, Housley or Muse or, you know, one of these guys can like unleash something in this kid to just get him going.
Yeah.
I mean, and back to the Chris Drury's job is hanging on it. Sorry. Yeah. That was the last thing I wanted to add. Yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. And back
this
to
is
the,
a, I know, think this Lafreniere, is his last coaching staff.
Probably.
Totally. Yeah, probably. Oh yeah.
Back to just that point of Lafreniere playing on the first line. Like, you know, a lot of fans are saying he hasn't earned it. But you have to be given the opportunity sometimes to show what you can do. Like, you know, he's not like Alexis Lafreniere is not a third line player. And that's what he's been put as, and that's what he's been looked at by Ranger fans, because that's really what's been handed to him. And there was a couple games last year, actually, if I'm remembering correctly, I was at the game against St. Louis at home, like in November when the Rangers were on like their 8-game skid, and it was Lafreniere, Kako, Mika. And I'm pretty sure they each put up like 2 points in that game. Like they were able to, you know, find a way to produce, and they played pretty well together. But then like, you know, 2 games later, you know, obviously that line gets mixed up. So listen, also like Lafreniere was guilty of, you know, showing up for some games and just being totally lackadaisical the next couple of games. Like, I think Laviolette's going to be perfect for him, though, in that regard, where Laviolette will keep him engaged, like, throughout the entire season. You know, I think it was clear that he was disengaged because he wasn't getting the opportunity. And sometimes, you know, when you are looked at as a specific kind of player, a third-line guy who doesn't get much power play time, doesn't kill penalties, and you know you're stuck in that role, it's really hard to motivate yourself for a coach that, you know how they see you. And that happens to everyone. So I think this is a fresh start for Lafreniere also. And it's a fresh start for everyone, right? Like people will be given opportunities that they might not deserve because it's a new staff and this is how they see players. But also, you know, that being said, I know Cody, I just said that's being said, whatever. Chris Kreider is not a third line player either, but I think to benefit the group as a whole, you got to put Kreider on the third line because Kreider can play basically up and down the lineup and he's still going to get that first power play time in front of the net. He's going to deflect pucks. He's going to get, you know, rebounds. He's going to score off the rush with his shot. And I think just for the overall team as a whole, for everyone to succeed, you got to put Lafreniere in that position, and Kreider's going to be the
and
one
on
who has
PP1.
To do it because Lafreniere
like
hasn't
I've
been able to
do for 2 years.
I still don't know if Lafreniere fits on PP1 right now.
You got to give him a chance. You have to.
Well,
give him
a chance. I did see they're gonna mix up the units. I think they're not gonna load up one. I think they're gonna mix and match and have two strong units. From what
in the last 20 years, Lafreniere has the lowest power play one time of any first overall pick by a landslide.
It's
like
insane.
I saw the graphic; it's by a landslide.
Yeah, you got to
literally
put
like zero.
Yeah, I've been preaching this to Johnny since like literally for two seasons. Like he needs. If you want him to take that step to be an X point player, X playmaker, like he's got to be on power play one, even if it, and that's the thing, right? Like you're like, oh, he doesn't fit. You have to make it fit for him. You have to find a way to, you know, if it's pushing Panarin to PP2 or whoever, like you have to make it work to make this kid successful so that he can like go in and untap that potential because he's got the talent. He's got the talent to be a superstar, but it's kind of like how it is for Drury. It's the same way for him. It's like sink or swim time where it's like now's the time you unlock that talent for him.
Yeah. You just need to fully commit to these kids, man. You need to give them every tool they can get to succeed. And if they don't, then you know. But we have not given them on a consistent basis tools to succeed where we know exactly where they're going to be within the next 5 years. I truly don't believe that we've given them everything they've gotten. Like it's like almost like giving a painter like a shitty paintbrush. Like give him a fresh paintbrush. Give him like a brand new one out of the fucking
package.
That's
the best you can come up with?
I don't know. I'm just coming up with shit on the spot. go to Home Depot, get one fresh out of the package. Stop giving me the hand-me-down, you know, third line power play two bullshit. Put him on the first line, put him on power play one, and leave him there for 10 to 15 games. And if he sucks, guess what? We'll trade him next year.
Yeah,
that's it. But yeah. I just need to know. I need to know as a fan because it's sickening.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
it is.
You know, for the Rangers, they hadn't got a first overall pick in God knows how long. They finally get one.
Like,
they finally get one. He's all in the newspapers. It's the biggest thing in the world, and you see it. Cody mentioned it before. You see the untapped potential. He had, you know, the between the legs goals, and you know, he's got like a really good stride. I know Johnny like gets off to his stride. He's tweeted about it.
He's the prettiest fucking skater in the league. Okay?
Exactly. But
that was the worst pick I ever had.
It's up there. But yeah, man, like Kako's taking a step. Like it's time for him to take a step. And listen, I don't want to be hard on guys, but you got to be at this point.
Honestly, if Lafreniere breaks out this year and becomes a superstar, we should for sure print prettiest skater in the league shirts. That would be fucking hilarious. That would be
people buying.
Also, last thing I'll say on Lafreniere. Speaking of trades, Avery, do you think it's true? And this is for you too, John. Do you think it's true, like the rumor that Elliot Friedman put out about the Rangers were looking into trading with the Habs at number 3 to get Michkov for Lafreniere? Do you think that's a true thing?
I don't think the Habs would have done it. That's my
opinion. They didn't end up taking him. The Flyers got him, right?
Yeah. I just think like when there's smoke, there's fire. Like I think that there's like little leaks that like come out or some teams even just do it just to kind of create a stir and see if any phone calls will happen. But I don't know. I think they're still committed.
Drury said he's like, I'm not moving him, but I almost feel like he had to say that. At that point.
Well, also like now would be the worst time to move him. There's no value on Lafreniere right now.
Yeah.
Like there'd be no reason to move him right now. Yeah. I think, you know, if they were to do that, it would have been a waste. And Drury obviously, you know, the one thing you can definitely credit Drury for is understanding value in players, right? Like, you know, the deal for Nils Lundqvist last year to start the season off, you know, I'm bringing in Kane and Tarasenko for what we got him at, you know, didn't really give much up, although it's kind of put us in, you know, a little bit of cap hell here, but he's figured it out, right? Like we're going to talk about it now. He signed, you know, I think 10 free agents or maybe even more. How many was it? Yeah. 10 on the dot. I mean, like I thought he was done for the day after they signed Pitlick. And then that guy went off. And, you know, I think we don't need to talk about all 10.
That was so funny, dude. Yeah, Johnny tweeted. He's like, don't
be quiet for the rest of the day.
There was like 7 signings after you said that.
Yeah, it was crazy. I also had a party at 3 o'clock. I was just like hoping he was done. But, you know, I think Blake Wheeler, what are you smiling at, Avery?
you're just like, oh, nothing's going to happen. Yeah. And maybe it was in the last 10 years that I can remember, the most active the Rangers have ever been on July 1st.
Which is insane because they signed 10 guys for $4.8 million. And 5 of those guys will be contributors this year.
Can we do a Johnny Lazarus live tweet right now and just tweet like, I firmly believe that Vladimir Tarasenko will not be back with the Rangers. So he comes back.
I don't think that. Oh, just when he comes back, you're saying just the opposite.
Do it.
Yeah. We need a Jay Lazzy reverse jinx.
And you can say Avery made me do it.
Yeah.
I will say, I actually I spoke to a good friend of the show, Nate Thompson, about Blake Wheeler because they played together in Winnipeg for a bit. And Nate was like, dude, I'm telling you, Blake Wheeler is going to surprise everyone. That guy's still got a lot of game in him. And, you know, I think Ranger fans are going to fucking love him. So that obviously wasn't a word for word quote. I'm not going to pull up the text, but Blake Wheeler is arguably one of the better signings, I think, out of the entire NHL as far as free agents go. I mean, getting that guy for 800K is, you know, a pretty good deal.
By far. I mean, would he have 55 points last year? He was also a point per game player in the playoffs for, I think, Winnipeg ended up playing like 5 games. I think he had 6 points.
Well, going back to the last 5 years, he's got like 38 points in 40 playoff games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, playoff performer, big body. You like to see it. It almost reminds me a little bit of Rick Nash, his type of build. He's got that kind of build.
Okay, the build.
Listen, I'm saying the build, not like scoring touch careful, like that. No. I'm saying like
I'm just gonna post a clip on social media. Avery saying Blake Wheeler reminds me of Rick Nash.
Yeah, just the build, dude.
I still
want me to come back with your tweets, buddy. Like, let's relax here.
Sidney Crosby, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying like prime Rick Nash. Rangers Rick Nash, like towards the end of his career, you could probably say a little bit like Blake Wheeler. How many points did Rick Nash have with his last season in New York?
The better question is how many points did he have on the Boston Bruins when we fucking fleeced them dummies?
Yeah, that was crazy.
28 points in 60 games, 18
exactly. Goals. So Blake Wheeler's already better. Listen, I love Rick Nash. In his last three seasons, he didn't have over 40 points, and Blake Wheeler had 55 at 36 years old last year. Just saying.
We're trying to get Rick Nash in the pod, so don't rip him.
Oh, okay. No, I know. I said I love Rick Nash. I have his jersey in my room. He's one of my favorite Ranger acquisitions ever. But
except he didn't show up in the
playoffs. But you guys were just flaming my comparison with him.
No, I was saying be careful which road you go down there, because people would take that and run with it. Okay. But I don't know. What is Cody doing
in the league?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what Cody's doing.
What's up, boys?
Should I tell my Rick Nash story, though?
Yes.
Just making some pizza.
You're making pizza in the middle of the podcast? You can't fucking wait?
Dude, I'm making it for you guys.
Are you serious right now?
Just tell the Rick Nash story.
Wait, this is absurd.
No, I'm not making
it. Are you serious?
No, dude.
I don't believe you at all. You're definitely making poop food right now.
No, I'm not.
All right, I'll just tell a quick story. So I was at the Barstool Bar in Nashville for the draft, and Colby Armstrong, who we'll definitely have come on this show someday, even though he has nothing to do with the Rangers, Colby walks up to me and goes, "Yo, Laz, that's Rick Nash over there. Like, you want to go jerk off into a cup?" And I was like, "No, but I'd love to meet him." And Colby walks me up to Rick Nash and goes, "What's up, Nasher? This is Johnny. He works with the NHL. He's a huge Rangers fan. He's probably going to jizz in his pants after he shakes your hand." And I was just like, "Hey, Rick."
Yeah, that's just a crazy introduction. That's Army.
He's the coolest guy.
Yeah, he's the man. Yeah, we should definitely have him on. He's got some good stories, and I'm sure he's got some good, like, playing the Rangers stories from being in Pittsburgh. So,
yeah, unreal night with Colby. He's the man, and we'll definitely try to get him on here. But, you know, speaking of the draft, Gabe Perreault at 23rd, unreal player. And it's interesting, right, because, you know, everyone talks about how he's the smartest guy and how he set a NTDP record for points. But it's so weird thinking about the fact that his two linemates, Will Smith and Ryan Leonard, who went 4-8, and they're all playing together at BC next year. Perreault had the most points on that line. Like, it's interesting to think why he dropped 23. I still got to I know it's a skating. That's like, you know, the thing people are iffy about.
That was
him
their
on.
Concern. That was their concern.
But it's so odd that you find that, right? Like, when is a prospect that like leads a team or, you know, line in points, like picked third out of the rest of his line mates? It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you guys have a thought on it. I mean,
I'm just happy we got him. He was. The number, I think, 11th ranked prospect, and we got him at 23. Like, that's, he fell into our hands. And honestly, if he fucking tears it up and he's up in a year, like,
I don't think he should. I think he should take 2 years at BC at least, minimum.
2 years at BC?
Yeah. I mean, college developing is so different too. Like, I actually tweeted it when he was picked. In the last 11 years, the Rangers have had 10 first-round picks. Only two of them played in college, Kendra Miller and Brady Shea. And, like, those two guys turned into everyday NHLers and, like, have, you know, succeeded at the National Hockey League level. Gabe Perreault, if he takes 2 years of college, even three, you know, look at what college did to Adam Fox, too, right? Fox played till his junior year. He comes into the NHL and makes a difference right away. You know, I think as far as playing in college goes, you have such a better opportunity there because you work out so much. You're in the gym, like, it truly is a great development tool. And obviously I never played in like the OHL or WHL or whatever, but you know, just seeing the college guys that I've seen succeed at the NHL level, like Makar, McAvoy, Fox, Quinn Hughes, like Vetrano. Guys who, you know, who?
I said Vetrano.
Just guys who didn't, you know, rush their development and went back to college and got bigger and stronger, because also who wants to rush their college career, right? Like, I think Fantilli should have went back for one more year. I know he signed
with
Columbus.
That's crazy that he signed, yeah. Honestly. Fucking crazy.
I mean,
that's a shock.
He won the Hobey Baker, played in the Frozen Four.
I mean, to be honest, he's going to get called up and probably do a lot of the
called up. He's going to start on the team probably.
That's probably the first left center. Sorry. Yeah. So he'll get, you know, he'll play for the big guys and probably do some of the shit he would have done in college anyways.
Talk about a ballsy pick by the Ducks. I know we're a Rangers podcast, but oh my goodness. I thought Fantilli was the guaranteed number two.
Insane.
He honestly, okay, as sick as Bedard was, Fantilli had an unbelievable season last year. Like, he could have, in any other draft, he's a number one.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I think the top four picks in almost any other draft would have went number one, in my 100%. Opinion. I think the top four picks, like, leading up to Michkov, like, I think the four guys before him.
Well, Michkov went eight.
No, he went five, dude.
Brother, I was there.
Didn't he go five to the Flyers?
No, he
went. Ryan Backer went
you're
five.
Right, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right.
Wait, didn't he go seven?
Don't act as if you watched the draft.
Didn't I watched the entire fucking draft, you weenie.
I think you're both wrong. I think he went seven.
I watched the entire draft. The entire draft.
Avery's right. He went seven to the Flyers.
He went seven and the Caps picked
him.
Leonard went eight to the Capitals.
I can't believe you think I didn't watch the fucking draft.
I know for a fact you didn't watch the draft. I know for a fact.
The entire first round? How much would you like to bet? I will go and I will send you a video of my YouTube TV because I have DVR and we'll send you it. How much money do you want to bet right now?
Why would you DVR something that you're watching live?
Bro, do you know how YouTube TV works? I can go back and find where I watched.
Regardless, Gabe Perreault, awesome pick. Like, in the past 5 to 6 years, like, Rangers draft picks, it honestly made me feel so good that they just took the guy that needed to be taken, if that makes sense. Like,
you mean like Kravtsov?
Yeah, like the picks leading up to it, I'm like, there's no way this guy Perreault falls to the Rangers. Like, there's no way that the Flyers take him. The Flyers are going to take him. Like, it just didn't make sense that he slipped all the way down to us, and that could either be a good thing or a bad thing. But even if he ends up being a bad pick, like, it was just the right pick to make, and he's a phenomenal hockey player.
He's not.
I'm not going to get mad. No, I don't think at all. I think he's going to be sick. I think, like, he has top six potential, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And Johnny, you're long term friends with their family, right?
No, I went to school with Lily, his sister, who graduated from Mercyhurst. We went to college together. And his older brother got drafted by the Ducks in the first round, Jacob. They're a hockey family. Dad played in the NHL. I saw them walking on Broadway after the draft. It was kind of cool. Gabe was, like, rocking his Ranger jersey just, like, on Broadway with the family. So it's easy to spot out. But
that's sick.
It was cool to talk to him, like, right after that.
You interviewed Bedard, right? That's unreal.
I did talk to Bedard.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was super cool. So we did the NHL draft backstage show, which was, like, not live. They posted it on YouTube. It's, like, a 40-minute show. We talked to, you know, I think at least, like, 20 out of the first 32, you know, first-round picks. And Avery, what are you laughing at? But yeah, it was super cool. We talked to Bedard, Fantilli, Carlson, Smith, Leno, Simashev, you know, all these guys, Reinbacher. Honestly, low key, biggest beauty in that class, Chicago's second pick, Oliver Moore. That kid is a stud. Like, he's an unreal dude. He's playing at Minnesota next year. Super funny guy. And he's someone I'm looking forward to watching too. But yeah, that was a sick pick. Yeah, that was my first draft, even though I didn't really get to experience the draft because we were, like, backstage. Like, I didn't, like, watch the draft as it was happening. We had it on the TV. But the draft is a lot of fun, man. Like, everyone in the hockey world is there. Like, I was actually Jason Aldean's. I didn't really talk to them much, but Rick Nash and Kevin Hayes were, like, right next to me at the bar just, like, shooting the shit. It was kind of cool. I was trying to eavesdrop.
I heard I heard Hayes is a good dude, like a beauty.
Yeah, seems like the man.
He is.
All these guys, dude. Everyone's so cool. Like, you know, I know you're going to shit on me a little bit, but Jack Hughes, like, he's, like, my favorite kid ever. He's the coolest dude. Like, I have so much fun with that kid every time I run into him.
Drinking beers, being dudes.
Drinking nooners.
Nooners?
Ladding with the lads.
Love it.
But
all right, let's transition. Let's
– Yeah. What else is even left?
Draft talk.
Lines. And then we're done.
Lines?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Should I take it off since I tweeted it?
Yeah, do it.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking just right now as of today. If I were to put out the lines, I would start with Lafreniere, Mika, and Kako. They spent a couple games together last year. Do you guys have any issues with that? I know. What?
Should we write these down? And see,
I mean, I have it tweeted.
Okay.
I'll write mine down.
Yeah. Then also, this will change so much if we get Tarasenko, but second line, I have Panarin, Hedel, Wheeler.
That was the Johnny Lazarus guarantee.
What?
You just said this will change so much when we get Tarasenko.
Well, I mean, if we get Tarasenko, I think Wheeler obviously drops down to the, you know, third right wing spot.
If we get Tarasenko, I'll cream my pants.
Like, you're not putting Vesey and Pitlick above Wheeler right now, are you? Like, who's getting that second line right wing spot over Wheeler?
No, it's Wheeler. It's for sure Wheeler.
No, but there's people who are saying that Wheeler should be in the third line, which he realistically should be. If
the only reason they're saying that is because then they're alluding to either Kreider or Lafreniere is going to be on the right wing. That's the only reason they're saying that.
Yeah. So then third line, Kreider, Trocheck, and Beasley. Huh?
I hate that line.
They can't buy out Goodrow in this window. We mentioned it before, but apparently, yeah, the player that they can buy out has to make over $4 million AAV.
Got it.
Sorry. Okay. Keep going.
He's very expendable now, I think.
Yeah.
And then the fourth line, I have Goodrow, Bonino, and Pitlick. Pitlick doesn't have to be an every night guy. More than happy to have Will Cooley in there. This is just what I think right now today, prior to training camp and seeing what these guys can do.
I like your lines. I like your lines, John.
No, I saw Johnny's tweet, and usually I scoff at all his tweets because he's a loser. but I actually really like these lines. I'm actually trying to find the tweet. Did you send it in our text?
I tweeted a lot today.
Yeah, you did. Johnny was firing on all cylinders. Here we go. I don't think there's really any need for backlash. You said you were expecting it with the Lafreniere and Kreider mix up, but I personally don't like to look at lines as like an indefinite, like 1, 2, 3, 4, like straight down the line. Obviously fourth line's not going to get as much ice time, but the ice time last season wasn't that it was like fluctuated almost. I'm trying to think of the word, like it was pretty even. Like it wasn't like
he rolled four lines.
Yeah, like you had the Panarin and the Mika who would get the power play time. But to be fair, like Gallant never saw it as like a, you know, first line's going to play way more than the fourth line or the third line. Honestly, the only change I would make is I would still keep Kreider in the top six and probably throw Kako with Hedel and Panarin. But I do like...
Wait, but then where are you putting Lafreniere?
You're a scumbag. Yeah.
No. I'd move Wheeler, and VZ can play left wing. What does it matter?
Wait, I'm so confused on what you're saying right now.
Okay. I'd put Kreider on the top line with Zibanejad and Kako. I'd move Lafreniere with Panarin and Hedel, and then I would just slide VZ to left wing and put Wheeler on the right.
So you have Lafreniere on the right on the second line.
Yeah.
Got
it. I like guys with the off,
everything
off
against what we talked about 20 minutes ago.
Honestly, I might say something dumb here, but I don't understand why guys are so fixated, like wingers. Like I feel like wingers can play both sides. Like I don't think that, like I think that Panarin could play right wing just as good as he plays left.
It takes a certain level of talent. And also, like, I think depending on you know, your hand, like, if you're a lefty-righty, that certainly takes factor as well sometimes.
Well, that's what he's saying.
No, but he's saying it doesn't matter.
But here's the thing with Panarin. I'll tell you why Panarin should not be playing on his right side. Panarin,
I wouldn't put him there. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm saying the counter-argument to what you're saying. Like, yeah. I think the hardest thing when you're playing your off-wing is breakout purposes, because – when your head is on a swivel and you're trying to catch a pass in your backhand, you can't see the defenseman pinching. And when you're on your forehand side, your vision is to the entire ice. So like trying to catch a pass from the defenseman in your backhand, you can't necessarily see where the center is and where the opposite winger is. So it's harder to make that initial pass in the breakout. And then the offensive zone, when you're skating in, you can't really get a strong shot off the rush, right? Because you're on your offside, unless you like kind of pull it in and like shoot against the grain, which is really hard to do. Obviously some guys can do it, but not a lot of people can. And like, you know, in the case of Artemi Panarin, you know, I think his favorite thing in the offensive zone is to, you know, cut back on the rush and hit the second wave of offense. Like how many times you see Panarin cross the blue line, stop on a dime, and then feed somebody either across the ice or hit the point, you know, the guy driving in the second wave. Like that's what Panarin does best. Panarin's never burning a guy wide with speed because he doesn't really have it. So, you know, a guy like Kreider, who's on the strong side, Kreider has all the speed in the world and he has the shot. When he's coming down the left wing flying, it makes all the sense in the world to have Kreider on a strong side. If he's coming on the opposite side, it's a little bit harder to get that angle and get that scoring chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I think, but the biggest thing is bringing out the puck, because when you're on the off wing, you have to be so careful of the defense and pitching in, because you really can't see since your back is somewhat to them.
Mm.
Was that a good breakdown? Right. That sounded really smart.
That was pretty fucking good. I actually zoned out part of it because it was too smart for me.
basically the my argument for it, and I thought that was really well done, well broken down, Johnny. But my only thing is, like, if you
feel like Will Ferrell in Old School.
if the Rangers are committed to keeping Kreider in the top six, and you ask Lafreniere this question, would you rather play left wing on the third or play right wing on the second line? What do you think his answer is going to be?
I mean, I think anyone would say right wing on the second, but like that's just exactly. Him saying it for the better opportunity. It's not like where he's most comfortable.
Yeah.
All right. You know? Here's the best lines of the night. Okay. Line number one. No joke. It's just going to be incredible. Panarin, ZBJ, Kako.
Line ZBJ?
One. Yeah.
Okay.
Line one, elite. Line two.
I don't think I've ever heard him get called ZBJ. Keep going.
Never. I call him ZBJ all the time.
never said that.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Line two, Lafreniere, Hedl, Wheeler. Elite. Line three, Kreider, Trocheck, and one of either Othman or VC. Whoever makes it. Line four.
Okay.
Line four. Pitlick, Bonino, Gaudreau. And then for my D pairings, I want Miller, Fox, Lindgren, Trouba, Gustafson, however you say his name, and then Schneider.
I would love to see Miller, Fox. That's one. That's my bucket.
It would be elite.
That's my bucket list, New York Rangers.
Best line of the
night,
right?
But I don't think Lindgren and Trouba are not breaking out the puck cleanly. It's just not happening.
But, dude, Lindgren rocks, bro.
I love Lindgren, but they're just not breaking the puck out cleanly. Like, it's just not happening. Like, you need Foxy and Miller separate to break the puck out. Like,
all right, D-pairings are a work in progress, but those should be the four lines.
Okay. You also should
good,
probably,
right?
Probably flip Gaudreau and Pitlick, because Pitlick's a righty, Gaudreau lefty.
Gaudreau plays both sides, though.
Gaudreau why would you put Pitlick on his offside if Gaudreau plays well?
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Lefty, righty, dude. Be ambidextrous. Don't be a bitch. All right.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up? I know we're going to have – oh, so let's just drop this. We're going to be interviewing Mike Rupp on Friday, probably talk to him about mostly his career. We'll ask some current stuff too, but we want to hear his stories and talk about his time as a Ranger. Probably drop that on Monday. And then, you know, hopefully we'll get two episodes going throughout the rest of the summer. But it'll probably be like, you know, storytelling or whatnot, right? Like, there's not going to be much happening, I think, the next, like, month or so until training camp starts. So just bear with us and we'll try to get fan questions in, you know, get your guys' thoughts in the off season and whatnot. So it'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, Mike Rupp coming out on Monday. And you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I'm excited to be back. This is great.
Great having you.
Yeah, there's always fun in this, man. Like, we always like poke fun at each other, but it's good to get back together. Good to talk Rangers, kind of getting in the spirit. Football is like only a month away, so we're already getting there. Yeah,
Johnny doesn't do football. Those are the things, Johnny, where you like throw it and guys catch it and run and score. It's cool. You should check it out one time. But no, that's really it. We're pumped to be back, and you know, we're gonna crush it. So
do your LFGR. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, as Avery's hoodie says, but I say it better. LFGR, baby.